Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Is that Virginia Bible School? And this is one of the class that I took in the morning, Wendy and I took. And it's online. This is from Greg Earle. It's on fillerword.org. Go there, and he has other teachings and stuff. But this just is pretty wonderful here. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay, without believing in this chapter, this nestled in this whole chapter of believing, and if you go back and read some of those records, they're just astronomical. It's impossible to please God without faith, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not just that he exists. People believe in a God, like some amoeba, something up there, but
and half the time they don't want nothing to do with it, you know.
But not just that he exists, that he is, but he is who he declares himself to be, and what he declares that he does. He is God Almighty. We heard some of that in manifestations. He'll take care of us, he'll give us what we need. That's the God that we believe that he is, and that he is, or that you could read, that he becomes a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's kind of like Moses in the, when he's taking the children of Israel out, and Moses go to God, he goes, what should we call you? Everybody wants to know what your name is. He goes, I am that I am. Meaning that what do you need? You want someone who's going to fight for you? I'm the fighter for you. I'm the shield. You need food? I am the supplier of food. You need healing? I am the healer, the God that heals. So God, he becomes a rewarder. And the reward is, it's a payment for something done. It's not a grace thing. It's kind of like wages. You work whatever hours, right? And you get paid for those hours. So God becomes the requiter or the payer of wages, okay? Ones that diligently seek him. So we're going to look at seek a little bit, and then a little bit at the rewards. Please go to Matthew chapter 6. So, and the diligently seeking is, you expend a lot of effort, and like you're to find something, you know? It's not just like, say you lose your car keys and, they're not on the counter. I guess I don't drive the car today. Like no, you go looking for it. And I have sometimes looked, when I can't find things that are important to me, I like go to the most ridiculous things. Like I'll look in the refrigerator, look in the garbage. You know, you never, if I can't find it, you know, when I'm looking for it, you go to those extents. Okay, chapter 6, verse 31. "Therefore, take no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek," those what they think is important, they seek after those things, or unbelievers. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Okay, and it's not just like, you don't think about, I want food. It's the whole thing about getting the food, you know? You don't just go to a supermarket and say, I want food, and they go, oh, here you go. No, you got money, you know, either you're, however you're getting that, you know, it's a whole lifestyle. You get consumed, you're that hamster on that wheel, and you just get consumed with the taking care of the day-to-day, the necessary things. And even back then, it's much more difficult. Now we have modern day conveniences, kind of speeds things up a little bit. But still, people get consumed about the J-O-B, and living day to day, and all that stuff. But there's greater things. When we seek the kingdom of God and the things of God, all those things, God goes here. I think in Psalms it says he opens his hands and satisfies every living thing. Just go to God, let him do it. Okay, and chapter 7, same book. Matthew 7:7, verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." In the International Standard Version, ISV, it reads, "Keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. If things are, whatever things are valuable to you, they're going to be things you're going to keep doing, you know? Like, came to the door this morning, I knocked on it, and it was like, no answer. It's like, I don't know how to walk away. He's like, I know you're in there, open up. You know, just keep on doing it. Keep on seeking, right? Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. And in verse 1 of Proverbs 2, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up the voice for understanding. Now this is God's knowledge and God's understanding. It's talking about scriptures here, or what was available at the time, or just seeking God. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, for seeking, for looking, then we'll find it. Sometimes, most of the time, buried treasure, hidden treasures, things, they're not just laying on top of the ground. You got to search for them, wherever they may be, you know, whatever that is. Sometimes it takes a little work. But God's gonna repay you. Anything with God, God will definitely take care of you. Okay, Psalm 105. And verse 4 of Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. It's not just a one and done thing. We just keep doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that concludes the seeking part of the teaching. We can now transition into the rewards part. And as I mentioned before, rewards are a payment for services rendered, whatever, right? Wages earned. And God's not going to be some deadbeat employer or someone who comes short. We heard that all through manifestations. Is his arm short? You know, is he slack towards us? No. He's going to give it to us in aces. He's going to just give us, you know, abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And also, we'll see that there's rewards now, and there's rewards later in the future ministration. So there's that. And there are other rewards mentioned in the Word. And not all good. And not all given by God either. Okay, let's go to Psalm 19, please. We'll start in verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Let's skip down to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or the reverence of the Lord is clean or cleansing, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Read that in Proverbs, right? Similar. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servants warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Not just God doesn't pay you back, but he does, like Ephesians, right? Abundantly above, he just great reward. But look at all the way through that. There was law of the Lord is perfect, you know, converting the soul, making testimony of the Lord, making wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So these are all like perks along the way. And then there is, in keeping of them, there is great reward. And we were talking earlier about, like, some things God doesn't really explain, give all the nuts and bolts and everything. But we know that if God says he's going to do something, or he is, or whatever, he'll do it. We just got to trust him. Okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. You know, God only gives good things. You know, he doesn't mix it with heartache or troubles or anything. Everything is from God, is pure and is clean. Okay, Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, after these things. Okay, now, little story time. These things which he spoke, we kind of jump right into the middle of this. This is about Abram. This is when God told Abram to leave, you know, go to, and I'll tell you where to go, you know, tell you when you're there, just go. So he's leaving, right? But in the area, there were these five kings that made a confederate, and they were terrorizing the region. They're going around and robbing and pillaging these other kingdoms. So in those five kings doing that, they snatched up Lot and all his substance, because Lot went with Abram, and they were going to that, where God was going to show him. So it says, Abram, he armed his trained servants, 300 of them, and they went and they did a little whooping, got Lot back and all the substance, and also they had taken stuff from a king of Salem, so they got back the people and all the substance, and the king of Salem goes, hey, thank you for doing this, you get to keep everything, and Abram goes, I'm not taking a thing, because then you're going to say you contributed to improving, yeah, getting money, but that's only going to come from God, okay? So this is after those things. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Mm-hmm. This is the first usage of the word reward. Look at that. God is going to be his protector, his shield, and God is the exceeding great reward. I saw some translations where it says, I think the Amplified says, you know, I am thy shield and thy great and thy abundant compensation, and I will reward you greatly. So whichever camp that comes from, like whether it's God's going to be the shield and his reward's going to be exceeding great. Any way you slice that, that's a very good thing. God's doing
it. The results is the same.
Thank you. Results is the same. And this is when you, like, was Abram seeking the reward or the rewarder?
Rewarder.
Okay. Do we seek the giver or the gifts? The blessing or the blesser? The promise keeper or the promises? If we're seeking God, the kingdom of God, and seeking God, we're going to get exceedingly, you know, he's reward us. And not only that, you get blessed along the way, as we read in Psalms there. Okay, let's go. Oh, also, let's keep reading for a bonus, a little extra. Let's keep reading for a few verses here. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. This is certainly after God gave him the promise in verse 12 about he's going to have a child. And this is before the incident with Hagar. So it's kind of where this sits right now. Okay. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he, God, brought him, Abram, forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. This word tell and number is the same word, and it's not just counting. It wasn't just to go count the stars, which would be an awesome visual aid, right? You go out there and you just, that's going to be my kid's butt. Remember, read in Psalms 19 about the heavens declaring the glory of God, and day and day is uttereth knowledge, and at night, you know, it's so the tell, it's like when you go to a bank, the teller, Do they just add stuff, or do they do other things for you? You know, and they provide other services. How about an accountant, our beloved Anthony? He just doesn't count beans. He just doesn't add numbers. He had provide services, and he says, "Oh, what if you do this? It would help you better, or do you know this, that, and the other." So it was like he was going to get an accounting of the stars, not just counting of the stars, but what was that knowledge being shared from the stars? What was written in heaven? The Savior.
Christ.
Right. So not only is he was getting schooled. God was helping out his friend there, you know, right? He was giving him a whole lot of information. So that was just a little bonus there, extra. Okay, Ruth, Book of Ruth. Remembering of Ruth here, right? Naomi has two kids. Ruth marries one of the kids. Naomi's husband died. Then the two sons die of Naomi. So Ruth and the other girl, which I don't recall.
Orpah.
Okay, her. Right? And in those lands and times of the Bible, when you don't have substance and the man has died, and then you have like daughters and their men die, it's a hard spot to be in. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and she was, Ruth, was a Moabitess, I do believe. She was from, She was a Moabite. Okay. And so Naomi goes, go back to your people, go back to your land. I got nothing for you. And then in chapter 1 of Ruth, verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God,
my
God. Okay. And then a little bit later, right, Naomi says, oh, I got this, you know, relative Boaz, you know, go glean in his fields, go get stuff, right? Which ends up being kinsman redeemer. Mm-hmm. And in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged thee, the young men, that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she, Ruth, fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger or a foreigner and a Moabite to boot? Which they weren't always nice to each other, those guys. Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me. Huh, I wonder who showed him. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done. How did he know that? Unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Huh? How beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. She gets rewarded, but that full is complete, safe, peaceful, perfect full. Does she have to worry, like we read in Matthew 6, about the Gentiles, about seeking after her daily sustenance? Mm-mm. No, she's going to be taken care of. Boaz, they end up getting married. And then Ruth has Obed. Obed has Jesse. Jesse has David. So she gets brought in to the line of Christ. It goes right directly through her, who was a foreigner, stranger. But she said, your people are my people, and your God is my God. What a wonderful. And it's kind of interesting. A lot of the rewards, a lot of it did have to do with children. Just not always, but it did seem to come up quite a bit. Psalm 91. Let me see, it was here earlier this morning. Psalm 91, verse 1. It says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Huh, sounds kind of like Ruth did, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction of the wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And I'm guessing that's not good. I do not want to be in that category, and neither do you. Right? So God, this is obviously one that is say not good reward, but God knows. God will repay. You know? Just which do you want? You know? Blessing, cursing, you know, life, death, you know, we get to choose. And you know, if you keep reading, another bonus extra here. Verses 11 and 12 of the same chapter. It says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone." Remember when that comes up in the Gospels?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The devil's tempting Jesus? Mm-hmm. That's funny, he knew those two verses, but the few verses earlier, like, you know, you're going to see the reward of the wicked. He kind of overlooked that one. And then he goes to the other ones. I'm just throwing
convenient.
Matthew chapter 6. And you know what? At the return, we get gathered up, and then after all that period of letting the devil loose, and then retribution, Jesus comes back with, you know, 10,000 of his angels. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see that too. See the rewarded again, now and later. Matthew 6, verse 1. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward."
Right.
And what is that reward?
Temporary
glory of men. And I tell you what, it could change in a heartbeat with mankind. We're so fickle. You could be, you know, great one minute, next minute you're mud.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to last long, but it's temporary. It doesn't do anything. Verse 3. "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." What that is, don't know, but God's good to let God do it. Mm-hmm. Do it openly. Then you'll know. Okay, verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Mm-hmm. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and he and the Father which seeth in secret shall answer your prayer openly."
Mm-hmm. Reward.
No, he will reward you openly. Maybe it includes your prayer being answered. Plus, or something else. Sometimes I pray for stuff and then I realize, that was dumb. It's not really what I needed, you know. You needed something else. Mm-hmm. And God sees, God knows. Let God, you know, we just seek God, do that stuff for God, and He'll reward us. He'll do it. James. Book of James, chapter 1.
Oh, chapter 1, you say?
Yes. Verse 12. James 1, 12. There we go. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Okay, it doesn't say reward, but it's going to be awarded to you, to us, to those that love the Lord after we have endured temptation. And that word tried is not only the testing of a metal, but also the approving of it. Like, test it for gold, and you go, yes, it is gold. Okay, so after that situation, shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Again, don't know what that is, but I can't imagine it's going to be nothing less than great, right? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, and not by constraint, but willingly, not for money, filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, a willingness, ready to go. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Another crown for those people that take up the shepherding and elders, feeding God's people. You're going to get rewarded for that, awarded a crown that fadeth not away. Again, don't know what that is, but got to be great. Okay, let's go to Hebrews, about the home stretch here. Hebrews chapter 10. I am going to read. I don't know why I'm even looking there. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it out of A Journey Through the Acts and Epistles. Hebrews 10, 32. We'll start at 32. And it says in Hebrews 10, 32. Again, I'm reading the Working Translation. Remember the former days when you were enlightened. You endured a great struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were made a spectacle both by insults and afflictions, and sometimes you became companions of those who were treated in this manner. Okay, the book of Hebrews is written to, I guess, Judeans that were born again, but they're Christians, and they were being persecuted as Christians, much like today. I know in some other countries it's really bad, but this, we can parallel ourselves to what's going on then. There's afflictions, persecutions, stuff. Verse 34. Moreover, you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, knowing that yourselves were to have a better and abiding possession. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Okay, you know, when adversary starts, you know, putting the screws to you, whatever way, if we stay focused on God and keep looking towards God, there is a great reward, a great, what's it say? Oh, there's a great reward, a recompense, a giving of a reward. And it's worth it. It's worth it now. And we saw we'll get, again, rewarded later. And then to close, we go back since we're here, 11, Hebrews 11, 6. Says, but without faith, believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God is a great rewarder. He gives, he sees, he knows. So it's and to our benefit if we just stay patient and faithful as, you know, as best we can. Some days are better now, but God knows. And he'll pay, and he's not stingy at all.